Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Glenn Beck, of course, has been very familiar to conservatives and Christians over the last few years, having a Fox News TV show and a very popular radio show. And he was just in Israel with a Christian author, very popular Christian author and defender of the U.S. Constitution, David Barton. And like Ann Coulter said about Mitt Romney, David Barton said about Glenn Beck that he's a Christian, although both of these men say that they are Mormons. That raises the question. It's not a question to me, but to a lot of people, it raises the question, are Mormons Christian? And I have a couple quotes here from the president of the LDS, the Mormon Church, the Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Their previous president, he was the president. The Mormons have presidents, and they've had a couple dozen presidents since Joseph Smith. And from 1995 until 2008, their president was Gordon Hinckley. Gordon Hinckley was asked directly by Time Magazine and by the San Francisco Chronicle in two different interviews a couple of years after he became the president of the Mormon Church. He was asked, well, what is this belief among Mormons that God was once a man? And his answer to that question was interesting, and perhaps we'll get to it. But to talk about this question of Glenn Beck and, for example, Mitt Romney, people who openly acknowledge that they're Mormons, and then some conservative leaders will go on the record and say that they're Christian, as Ann Coulter said about Mitt Romney, which was somewhat startling that she would say that. Well, to help us talk through this is a man who has been organizing Worldview Weekend conferences for many years. He has done a lot to bring thousands of people to a biblical worldview. His name is Brannon House. It's been a long time coming, but Brannon, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Well, great to be with you, Bob. Thank you for your generous invitation to be with you today.
Well, yeah, it's a joy. And Brannon, before we talk about Glenn Beck and David Barton, could you tell us a bit about your life's work? I've just recently read your bio, knowing that you'll be coming on the show. But tell us about Worldview Weekend and some of the work you do.
Well, thank you. We started in January of 93, February of 93, and then I got saved in late 2001. So needless to say, our organization drastically changed from the time it was founded until late 2001.
Now, you say in your bio that you were a false convert raised in a Christian home until you became an adult.
Yes.
So explain that for me and for the audience.
Yes. Well, that's one of the biggest issues, I think, in the church today and why we see the church in the condition that it is in. When I say the church, I mean what we call the church in America. And I think we have to distinguish between, you know, the remnant, true believers, and what we call the church in America today. And
right.
So I think the fact that it's filled with so many false converts, as I once was, is why it's in the condition it's in and why people are following the people they're following. Like Glenn Beck and David Barton and the emergent church and the new spirituality and the new gospel and all the mysticism. But I wasn't into any of that. In fact, I was very aware those things were bad. I started out writing against the New Age movement back in the 1989-1990. I thought I was a Christian. I had a head knowledge, but I didn't have a full understanding of the whole gospel. I understood enough to think I was saved, but I didn't understand the full gospel. I think the missing ingredient for me was two things. Number one, no one had explained, or if they had, I wasn't listening, the biblical standard by which God would judge me. I thought I was a good person. Now, I knew that I needed salvation. I needed a little bit of the cross, but I didn't really think that I needed all of it. I was really a good person, I thought. I was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school. I never did drugs and alcohol. I never lived that say this is what the bad guys do, bad people do. I didn't do those things. I was in the church choir when I was in junior high. I was teaching a Bible study in high school. I wanted to be a strong Christian. I wanted to serve the Lord. But the missing ingredient was someone explaining to me that, Brannon, you're not a good person. And when I came to understand the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which are written on our heart and our mind, that Romans 1, Romans 2, and Romans 3 say reveal our sinfulness and leave man without excuse, that's when I realized, whoa, wait a minute, I am a lying, thieving adulterer at heart. Yes, I've looked at someone with lust, equal to adultery. I had hatred for someone, equal to murder. Taken something that's not, doesn't belong to you, even of small value, that's stealing. When I realized that was the standard, God's standard, based on his character and nature, I really realized I was absolutely depraved. I was the chief among sinners. I was not a good person. I didn't need a little bit of the cross. I needed all of it. I deserved hell. That produced repentance. I really realized that, man, I deserve absolutely to be sent to hell. And that then caused me to have great contrition and repentance. Even after becoming a true believer, I still thought, how is it that you can be raised in a Christian home and church and even run a Christian organization and not be a Christian? And I came across 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 through 10, and I was such a great day when I discovered that verse because it helped me to understand how this could happen. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 through 10 says that you can have a godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation, but the world has a worldly sorrow that leads to death. And I had the latter. I had a worldly sorrow, but I didn't have a godly sorrow that produced repentance unto salvation. So, Bob, I think the two missing ingredients, by and large, for me, was someone explaining the standard by which I would be judged by God, which is his character and nature, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. That produced repentance, and that's the second standard that's missing, explaining repentance, which is that godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation, that's turning from one's sin and changing your mind about who you are, who God is, what you really deserve, and I deserved hell, even though I didn't think it, prior to that I really deserved much punishment. Mm-hmm. When I saw my true condition, I realized, Bob, I deserve hell. It produced repentance. I changed my mind about what I, who I was, who God is, what I deserved, and it caused me to change my direction. And I changed my whole life. My whole life direction changed. And I also, Bob, studied the book of 1 John during this whole process. This took many weeks for me, by the way.
Right.
I was on a deep quest to discern whether I was a Christian. I was afraid that I wasn't, and the more I studied, the more I was convinced I wasn't. And one of the things that helped me, Bob, was to read the book of 1 John, which someone said to me, Brandon, there are hallmarks of a believer in 1 John. Now, they didn't tell me how many or what they were. I grabbed my Bible, and I wrote down every time I saw one, I would underline it. It's the very Bible I still use to this day in all my teaching and studying. And so I still have all these verses underlined, and I would underline them when I would come across one of the hallmarks. And when I got done, Bob, I found 10, and I realized I didn't meet half of them. And there I realized, man, I really am a false convert. Yeah.
At Denver Bible Church, I've been hosting a daily talk show for 20 years, but for 10 years I've been pastoring, well, since January 2000, Denver Bible Church. And we put much of our congregation through an evangelistic training session from Ray Comfort his Way of the Master evangelistic technique, where you show people not that become a Christian because the Christian life is nicer, but Jesus Christ will save you from your sin, and God's law demonstrates, it shows us how sinful we are and how we hurt one another. We even hurt those we love. We hurt ourselves and we grieve God. And so we need to become a Christian because God will save us, not because we're going to get a better job or a better house or a nicer marriage, but we need to trust in Christ because our sin will bring us to eternal separation from God.
Yes, and that was the book that I read. One of the books that I read that began to cause me to question my salvation, my false conversion, it was a book by Ray Comfort entitled Your Best Life Now. And no, it wasn't. Wait a minute. What was it called? That's Osteen's book, which is garbage. It was called God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. That's what it was called. Now he's changed the name to Revival's Golden Key and a few other names. But that was the book I read by Comfort. Then I began to read a book by MacArthur on the Gospel According to Jesus Christ and a few others. And then I began to study the book of 1 John. So all of that research, Bob, which and the things you're talking about right now, are exactly what I was doing in the summer of 2001 and into the fall of 2001 to work out my salvation with fear and trembling.
And coincidentally, this was right around 9/11 when the U.S. was attacked.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, thank you very much. Obviously, when Jesus Christ spends as much time as he did warning the world, warning us, for one, about his own followers, people who come in the name of Christ, and two, that tares grow up among the wheat, so that you could expect false teachers and false prophets. Obviously, this is a grave danger, and so we need to know Jesus Christ and honor him and obey him. So the reason that I contacted you was because you've recently addressed Glenn Beck being a Mormon and David Barton, who a lot of Christians look up to. Over the years, we have had some strong words of correction for David Barton on this program when he misrepresents pro-abortion judges, for example, and because they're nominated by a Republican president, he says they're pro-life. So we've rebuked him for that, and we think it's very destructive to say that this person is pro-life when they actually advocate killing unborn children. So we've had some reason to be critical of David Barton, but here, this is a new development where he went with Glenn Beck to Israel. And so could you talk to us about, first of all, the comments said about Glenn Beck and whether or not they're true or false?
Well, Glenn Beck is someone that last August of 2010, I began to criticize on my radio program because I had even put up a website called keepglennbeck.com to encourage people to support the advertisers of his program because the liberals were boycotting him and they were going to try to get him kicked off the air. And I was pleased that Glenn was writing about or speaking about the things that I've been writing and speaking about for years, like the Cloward-Piven strategy and the globalism and statism and, you know, Fabian socialism and all the things that I've been writing about long before he'd even heard of those terms, I believe. So I was shocked this guy was on there saying those things. But last August of 2010, when he began to talk so spiritual and talk about discovering how people ought to be aware of, like, our history of the Bat Creek Stone, a rock with Hebrew writing found in an Indian burial mound in the state of Tennessee where I live, and he put it off as fact.
Yeah.
I started thinking, wait a minute, that's popular to him as a Mormon because they believe
the American Indians were Jews.
Yeah, a long time of Israel.
Which is a major crisis for the Mormon Church. Before you came on, I was about to read some quotes from the last president of the LDS about their traditional belief that God the Father was once a man, and that we could be gods with planets, with people who worship us. And so another serious problem they have is their belief that Jews left about the time of Solomon, left the Middle East, took ships, came across the Atlantic, and became American Indians. And now, with the advent of genetic science, it has always been known that American Indians are Hamitic. They're not Semitic. They're not Jews, of course. But now, with the advent of genetic science, it is indisputable
that
American Indians are not Jewish. They're not Semitic.
No, absolutely.
So the Mormon Church believes that there was a false claim that Glenn Beck, you're referring to now, where they tried to establish, no, it's true, the American Indians were Hebrews.
Yeah, and that was last August. That was August of 2010. And that's what, you know, that's when it just really kicked into high gear. And so he went from, you know, talking about things that, you know, just about anybody that was conservative could watch and say, hey, that's good, that should be exposed.
Right, sure.
But then he swung into this whole spiritual realm, and he started saying some really crazy stuff. Last August, and I played all these sound clips on my radio show last August, as he was leading up to his Restoring Courage rally. Restoring Courage or Restoring Honor? Which one is it he had? Honor. Restoring Honor. He had just said the Restoring Courage was
in Israel,
but the Restoring Honor was the one he did in D.C. in 2010. And he was saying things like this: I am that I am. It's a title for God. Never use it in vain. I am blank. Use this to become what you want. I am blank. What he's talking about there is promoting the law of attraction. The title I am is to be reserved for God alone. We see that in the scriptures, both New Testament and Old Testament. But Jesus himself, in Luke 21, was asked by the disciples, when shall we know it's your soon return? And Jesus said, when men say that I am, Now, your translation may say, when men say, I am he or I am Christ, Christ or he is in italics, it wasn't in the original manuscript. What Jesus said was, when men say, I am. Well, this I am title is being used by Beck, Beyonce, for her, one of her music tours. It's a part of the best-selling book, The Secret, promoted by Oprah Winfrey. And this is an idea of really Joel Osteen, Oprah Winfrey, New Age, and it's not really shamanism, I believe, that's been Christianized to say the power of your mind and the spiritual energies, you can create your own reality. And so I began to explain to my audience, I believe Glenn Beck is actually not just a Mormon, but a New Age Mormon. And then his book, A Seven Wonders Will Change Your Life, came out in January of 2011. And that book, he claimed many things, such as there's no lake of fire, God's been within all of us, there's been a pole star in you all the time, my truth, your truth, like 23 times, no one is born evil. He quotes Gandhi, the Buddha, the Gnostic Gospels. I mean, it is a potpourri of New Age Mormonism. And, Bob, what also I warned about in an article a few months ago as to why we don't work with David Barton and have him speak at our conferences anymore was not only because I warned him in August of 2010 about what Beck was up to, and Beck and Barton informed me on the phone that he had helped put together the Black Robe Regiment for Glenn Beck's event. And I tried to tell him this is ecumenicalism, it's pluralism, all religions are equal. He said, that's not what it's going to be about. I said, well, I'm sorry. When you get up there with people of all faith, that's what it's going to be about, whether you intend to give that message or not. So we've emailed back and forth with each other for the last year, but I cannot seem to convince Barton that what he's doing is very dangerous to the church. But I also, Bob, know that David has appeared on a DVD called The Source of the Secret. Now, The Source of the Secret is about a two-hour DVD. It has a lot of Word of Faith, Name It and Claim It, prosperity preachers on it. But it also has people who are on the original DVD, The Secret, that Oprah Winfrey promoted. But this DVD, Bob, is called The Source of the Secret. And what it says is, well, there are some great things about The Secret book and DVD that Oprah promoted, but there are also some dangerous things. But there are some great things, too, but you need to understand that that book and DVD doesn't go far enough. It needs to bring you to the source of the secret. And the source of the secret, they describe, is God. It's the Bible. Bob, understand, they are attributing, I believe, New Age paganism, shamanism, of this book promoted by Oprah Winfrey and DVD, The Secret. They're saying, hey, it didn't go far enough by showing you who is the source of the secret.
Right.
The Bible, God. How do you attribute God of the Bible to occultism? You can't.
Right.
And I'm sorry to say David was on there. And David has continued to be involved with Beck, even though Beck has continued to say ludicrous things. I got a video, it's on YouTube you'll find, of Barton being interviewed by somebody, and he says, hey, I know Beck says he's a Mormon, but don't judge him by the label, judge him by his fruit. And the guy says, are you saying he's a Christian? And he says, yes.
Fruit, and that is Barton, exactly what Ann Coulter said about Mitt Romney. We have an interview with Ann Coulter that was made into a YouTube video. We put together four talk show hosts who interviewed her, Steve Dace in Iowa, Greg Jackson. We asked her about Mitt Romney single-handedly instituting homosexual marriage in Massachusetts and bringing about RomneyCare, which is tax-funded abortion on demand, even late-term abortion, the whole thing. Then one of the hosts asked Ann about Romney being a Mormon, and she said, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. Forget that Mormon thing. You just happen to be born in a Mormon family. He's a Christian. And so this is a serious problem. Now, right after his restoring honor in D.C. on, I think it was the following Tuesday, the end of August 2010, you know, I tuned in because, of course, he had such a phenomenon with that event. And he was trying to describe why things could get better. And he said, because people are people, people are good. He said, people are good. And the interesting thing is the difference between right-wing conservatism and left-wing liberalism is that the left believe the humanist lie that people are basically good, and those who believe in God's word, revelation from God, believe in the fall, and that Jesus said that people are sinful and we're in rebellion against God and we need to be saved.
That's right.
And so it's a humanism, and that's just one example of many that comes from Glenn Beck, who is a confused cultist being a Mormon, that means he's a cultist. Cultists believe in books other than the Bible that they elevate to the level of Scripture, and they denigrate the Trinity in different ways. And the one way that the Mormons do it is they believe God the Father was once a man. They struggle with that because, you know, maybe that's a belief they'll eventually repudiate, but their leaders have said this, including Joseph Smith, that if you're a good Mormon, you'll end up like God with worlds of people who will worship you. And then they could become gods with worlds that worship them.
That's exactly right.
So the Mormon Church says, well, there's only one God for us, but there are other worlds where they have other gods. And that they don't repudiate that. So they're polytheists.
Do you know that Barton and Beck were at a church, according to the High Point website, High Point Church in Arlington, Texas, this last Sunday, speaking in two church services together? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
These guys are now making the rounds to churches. And Beck put out an email this week with a sound clip and video of him speaking at this church. And this church, and I'm told, according to the website, or according to websites, the pastor of this church, his brother-in-law is Joel Osteen. But this church, people are whooping and hollering as Beck stands up there and talks about uniting all faiths. Okay, and the church is cheering. He then goes on to say that he was an alcoholic until he received Jesus Christ and the atonement, and he worked the atonement every day, every single second of the day. By atonement, by the way, Mormons do not believe atonement comes from the shed blood of Christ on the cross. Atonement comes when Christ's sweat drops the blood in Gethsemane, and that's the way for us to save ourselves through works, which is why he would have to say he worked the atonement every day. It's by works, and the Bible says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. So people were cheering in this church, Bob, and the reason why is because we got a generation of simpletons, many of them who are goats, not sheep, and I can speak to that issue because I once was a goat in the church, but we got goats standing up and cheering for a man who's a New Age Mormon because they don't know what Mormons believe and the terminology. All they hear is, I believe in Jesus. But the most important question we have to ask is, what Jesus, define Jesus, explain Jesus. And they are not talking about the Jesus of the Bible, the exclusivity of Jesus, the inspiration of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture, the authority of Scripture. They're getting extra-biblical revelation, whether it's the Mormons, whether it's the extreme Pentecostals of the New Apostolic Reformation. But what's happening now, Bob, is that the New Apostolic Reformation, which is in itself, I believe, a theological cult with their prophets and apostles, are now coming to the right wing, and I call it the new religious right. And I have an article at my website, BrannonHouse.com. That's B-R-A-N-N-O-N, like Shannon. Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E, spell it with a W. And I have an article there called The Emergence of the New Religious Right and the Threat It Poses to the Church. And the new religious right today is uniting with the likes of the New Agers, the Mormons, the Emergent Church, and these people are simpletons to the highest degree. And they don't even realize, Bob, and we won't have time to get into it today, that they've been infiltrated by the communists. Now, they don't call themselves that anymore. They call themselves progressives. But the new religious right in America has not only been infiltrated by theological cults, but they've been infiltrated by the progressives and the globalists who have now completely infiltrated what we know as the new religious right today. And that will all be in my new book coming out in December called Religious Trojan Horse.
Religious Trojan Horse. Brennan House, here at Bob in Your Life for 20 years, we have been trying to strengthen Christians to obey God, trust Him, and not be vulnerable to being deceived by wolves in sheep's clothing. One of the issues that we've warned people about is, well, we have pro-life leaders, Christian leaders, who will point to, say, a Republican who is conservative, they say, but he does advocate killing X number of innocent children. And we say, don't argue, don't defend that, don't support that, because that's moral relativism. Well, that's been going on now for a couple decades, and the church has become morally weaker and weaker to where people are vulnerable. And today you have people in churches that are considered Bible-believing churches who will say they'll vote for Barack Obama. Because if you're a moral relativist and if you don't have to obey God, well, then there's no safety. There's no they're not going to like just go as far as the Republican Party wants them to go and stop there. If you're a moral relativist, you're going to support any kind of wickedness as long as you think that it's a little less wicked than some other wickedness. So I think David Barton has tragically been a part of that. In the early years, I would hear him, and he would make it sound like Thomas Jefferson was a Christian. It would be like in 100 years from now saying Bill Clinton was a Christian because he carried a 5-pound Bible when he went to church.
Well, how about some of the things that Beck has said? We could take some of the things Beck has said, and 100 years from now, if you grab these Christian phrases he has used, you could make the claim he's a Christian. But people who,
right,
if they lived long enough, were alive 100 years from now, would say, no, he also said this, 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 and this.
Right.
And therefore he's not a Christian. That's what these guys have done. I believe they have cherry-picked quotes. And you're talking to someone that's had to repent of this Americanism and this patriotic push of really trying to reclaim the country and raising the flag above the cross. I was guilty of that, and now I'm warning about it. And I'll tell you, if David Barton can say Glenn Beck is a Christian, what credibility does he have to tell anybody any of the founding fathers are Christians?
Well, that's a great point. And you know what?
Then why should we trust David Barton on anything, but particularly for him to define what a Christian is when it comes to one of the founders?
And Brannon, I'm Bob Inyart Live. You know, I was on TV for a while in 80 cities, and we harped on that topic for a while, talking about the Jefferson Bible. He rejected everything about Jesus Christ, the person of Christ, the cross, the resurrection. He made his own Bible, and he said, this is what I think is true.
Friend Chris Pinto on the show. Have you ever interviewed Chris Pinto?
No, but you know what? We got about 20 more seconds. But David Barton has now begun saying that Thomas Jefferson was not a Christian, which is an improvement.
He's still saying Adams is a Christian, even though Adams mocked the Holy Ghost and said even if we were on Mount Sinai, we still wouldn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And I've heard him say that Adams is a believer.
So obviously there are problems. But Brannon, thank you for honoring God and raising the cross above the flag. Thank you for your work and your love for the Lord.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate that. That's Brannon House. His website, just Google Weekly Worldview or BrannonHouse.com. God bless you guys.